Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtaggler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we're doing another episode this week for Podtaggler. We did one talking about Halo Online, and now we're going to do one talking about Hunt the Truth. You got two for this week, so be happy, people. It's a news-tastic week for Halo this week, and we're going to have quite a bit to show off for next week, too, with two more podcasts. You guys are getting the VIP treatment right now. And Biowolf is back in the hot seat. We missed you on the last podcast.
Yeah, it was annoying. Internet bugs. it's just been a horrible week. I've internet bugs, and then I got human bugs, infection or ear infection, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, not good. The best week.
Sounds quite buggy.
Yeah,
and I'll walk myself out.
You're good.
So we're going to be talking about the Hunt the Truth ARG, which we haven't actually covered too much on the website. It was when I was out for work. I actually had a work trip out to Denver, which, by the way, Denver is a beautiful place. If you're in the States and you have a chance to go to Denver, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. But that aside, the Hunt the Truth, we really haven't covered too much on Podtaggler, and that's just because I haven't had time to really cover it. But we're going to do that now with the podcast, and there'll be some really laggy posts, for lack of better words, to kind of follow up with this. But the Hunt the Truth ARG, we found out about it last week. We had a 3-day time period where we got preparation for this big build-up. And then we got the teaser with the traitor bullet, and we actually have a little more information on that. Plus, we have a behind the story of Master Chief kind of episodic series that's going to be happening from here up until, what was it, E3?
Yeah, yep, all the way up until
14 episodes, I think is what they said, right?
I believe, yeah, I think so.
Right, so we're going to be talking about those every week from here on out, I'm pretty sure. And as of this recording, we're supposed to be getting a trailer tomorrow that's supposed to be live on Xbox.com, and I believe it's supposed to be going on during the Walking Dead finale. IGN reported earlier this week that there's going to be a trailer coming for that. So we'll get a little more information probably in Halo 5 there. Not sure what it's going to be, but it's supposed to be a live-action trailer, so that should be exciting. We haven't really seen live-action stuff since, well, I guess we saw some live-action stuff for Halo Reach, but really the bulk of it was Halo 3. We really got to see all that live-action stuff.
Well, we've seen a live-action trailer for Halo 4, the scan trailer, if I remember correctly, with, like Chief going through, you know, like him getting abducted and then him having like the stuff put into his arms, and then they have like all that.
I know what you're talking about. Well, no, was that live action or was that part of the
trailer? No, that was live action. No, that was live
cutscene.
No, not the intro dialogue and all that stuff. I'm talking about an actual trailer. Like it was actually with.
Was it the John on the Beach one?
Yeah, like where.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Yeah, so yeah, we've had that.
But even still, like the live action promotion for Halo 4 was pretty small compared to that of Reach, and then Reach was small as in comparison to Halo 3. So.
Oh yeah.
The Halo 3 ones are the ones that everybody knows about.
Oh yeah, Starry Night was live action, correct? If I remember that correctly,
there was a big debate on whether that was live action or not. I don't remember what the end result was of that. I honestly don't remember if the kids was CGI or if that was live action.
I don't know.
I honestly don't remember. I know there was a big discussion behind it. I just don't remember what the actual facts were behind it.
Right.
Larry is saying CGI.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, Halo 3 had a couple incredible trailers out there. I mean, Starry Night's one that we really knew a lot of. What was the other? I'm trying to remember. There was two live action ones, weren't there?
Yeah, it was the Prepare Arms one with the weapons factory.
Oh, that's right.
That was the first live action that came out, and then the second live action was the ODSTs in the Hog, where they were tracking Chief coming down from the key ship.
Right. Yeah, those were insane.
Those were so great. And then the ODST live action one, oh my.
That was cool too.
Gosh. That was sick. That was sick. And if Receptor was on here, he'd be going goo goo gaga over it.
Yeah. So I remember another live action one that we've seen was the what was it? The 8-minute, it was supposedly the 8 minutes of the Halo movie or something like that. I can't remember the name. It was basically where the ODSTs were.
That was the two Halo 3 live action ones merged together.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yep. That was what it was.
I forgot to remember someone saying that was the like first 7 minutes of the Halo movie or something like that. I didn't believe it. Like, I've seen it from the Halo 3 trailers and stuff. I was like, that's not the Halo movie. But
it was thrown around as that for a long time. But those three live actions for Halo 3 were merged together basically as one long thing. And that was dubbed the 7 or 8 minutes from the Halo movie, which it was never a Halo movie to begin with, but people just coined it that way.
Yeah, it would have been sick if it was.
Oh, definitely. The amount of effort that they put into that, just if you had that, not necessarily quality, but the way they directed that, the just kind of the feel and the style of how they did all of that, put that whole effort into a movie, that'd be a freaking awesome movie for Halo.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and another thing is, too, that I completely forgot about was my friend actually just did this for a class project. What he had to do was he had to rip apart. He took the Halo Reach live action trailer, and we're going through the footage, and we're going by frame by frame by frame, because he had to take different sound bits that he had to piece together, put it into the Halo trailer to completely make a whole new sound. As you can use the footage, but you had to redo the whole sound. So basically what he did was he went frame by frame by frame, and he goes, that elite that's running, he goes, that's CGI, right? I said, no, that's real. Like, if I remember correctly, there was an elite suit that they made for that live action trailer, if I remember it correctly.
Honestly, I don't remember. You could be right. I mean, I know the Banshees were all CGI. That was definitely CGI.
Yeah, I remember, but there was one scene where an elite was running, and I remember that someone, I forgot where it was, I think it was like a behind-the-scenes thing where it was alive, like a suit. Like, it was just a suit that they made for it, which was pretty cool. A brute? Laird's saying a brute.
So the brute I could imagine the suit being, but for the elite, I tend to lean more towards the CGI because of how the knees bend.
Yeah,
because it's a double jointed knee, and you really couldn't do that with a human.
Yeah, he's saying brute for ODST. So I may have, yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen them, but nonetheless, they do incredible jobs with the live action trailers, and I can't wait to see what they do with Halo 5.
I hope that whatever they do, though, it's not focusing on the shallowness of Locke. I mean, it goes go back to the whole Nightfall discussion. I don't know how much we've talked about it on the show versus just us talking in staff chat, but it's just from what we've seen with Nightfall, Locke is just a shallow character right now. And there's a lot of building that needs to happen between either now and Halo 5 or the beginning of Halo 5 that really needs to establish a platform for really building his character or diving into the complexities of his character, because right now I just don't feel there's anything there with him.
Right. I mean, there's a couple things that need to be touched up on. Like, we need so much more as a character than we've seen in Lightfall. Like, I felt, like I said, like Spartan, what's his name, Aiken, if I remember correctly.
Right. Yeah.
I felt like, I've probably said it before, but I felt like that was more of his story than it was Locke's. So, I mean,
I agree.
I mean, as a character, I think they're going to sit there and show a lot more. I think that was just a bad intro to what Locke could be. I really do. I feel that Locke is going to be a more interesting character in the Halo game. Like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, I mean, you have the Halo 2 anniversary cutscenes. Those seem to be, like, he's really out for blood, going out for it, you know, sitting there. He seems more of like a little bit of an attitude compared to what he's seen before. I mean, like, I really hope that they sit there and bring in a character that's well worth, you know, as a main, another main character in the game. You know, right. I like something that I could honestly say too was like Buck. I mean, have Buck or somebody search for like for Chief for some whatever reason he's looking for Chief for. I mean, I don't know.
Mr. Fillion himself.
Yeah.
It would be something that they can do. I have to, well, I guess I don't technically have to, but I'm going to put my belief that 343 can make it to where you get a good character out of Locke. They just gotta do it.
Yeah. I mean, his armor looks pretty cool.
Well, I mean, armor aside.
I mean, that's all I got.
I mean, if that's all we're really talking about when it comes to Locke, then there's some serious shortcomings that needs to be addressed. I mean, gosh, okay, he has great armor. Okay, whip the freaking do.
I mean, his armor looks cool, but no, I mean,
Chief
I'm sure
armor
I'm
is cooler. I mean,
yeah, but the backstory of him coming from like an Oni perspective and him wanting him to bring him back to UNSC for some reason. Like, there's got to be a character that's got to be well worth it. You know what I mean? Like, that pique people's interest. And I think we're going to see something with this Halo 5 trailer coming tomorrow. I think we're going to see something that is going to sit there and show us what Locke really is. I mean, there's – I don't think they're going to sit there and introduce a character – like Locke and have such like there. Nightfall wasn't liked by a lot of people, and I'm sorry to say it, but it wasn't my favorite. I think Forward Unto Dawn was a lot better, and I think they portrayed Lasky a lot better in Forward Unto Dawn. I think they did a better job with it, and Lasky wasn't a main character. You know what I mean? I just think that it was just a bad intro to someone that's going to be greater than what it was in that particular moment.
But to look at where Halo is going as a franchise, I think we can agree at this point they're looking to replace Chief. I know I'm going to have a bunch of people come at me with pitchforks saying there's no way in hell I'm playing a game without Master Chief in it, but you got to be at some point getting rid of the Chief, moving him out, and having other people come into the storyline. You cannot rely on Chief.
Yeah, you can't have Chief in every single game. It's like, you can't. Like, it's impossible. It's literally impossible. Like, you make, oh, you can keep on going and going and going. It's like, it will lose its luster. It will. It will lose its luster. And I think the proper way to sit there and do it is Chief go out on a heroic. And people are going to kill me when I say this. On a heroic death. Him saving the world from something greater than we've seen before. And him dying with it. And then that's going to introduce Locke's character a little bit more. You know, I think that we're going to see Locke, this individual that's going to hunt, doesn't care how he's going to find him. He could possibly kill Chief if, like, his reaction calls for it. I think he's going to sit there and get persuaded into a different thing, like a different way of looking at Chief. And I think we're going to see something that the UNSC is pulling, like something but worse than what Oni could do. And that's the reason why Chief went this rogue, per se. That's what he's going for. So, like, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered in Halo 5. We're going to be getting it. And hopefully this trailer sheds a little bit of light on it.
The thing is, I don't think all the questions that we have can be answered within one Halo title. I think with everything that we've seen through Halo 4, with the revelation of the Forerunners, the Didact, and all that stuff, and the Librarian's master plan for the human race, I think Chief is in here for at least two more games. Because if the Librarian has the Gaosh, I think that's the right way to say it, permeating through humanity, where the Chief has a role, Cortana has a role, Halsey has a role in this humanity taking on the responsibility of the mantle, then those characters are going to be around for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I've foreseen Chief being in the next, I would say, Halo 7, and then, like, maybe Halo 8 is where things change. Like, we have Halo 5 coming up this year, and then we have Halo 6 and another 3, and then 7. I mean, I don't know, like, in my personal opinion, I don't want to see Chief go. I like him as a character, and the fact of someone's going to replace him, no one ever can. In my eyes, no one can ever replace Chief. Like, he's just done too much as a character, and we've been with him through Halo's 1 through 4. And it's like, we know his story, we know his, you know, tie with Cortana, we know all these things about him. He's seen things no other soldier has. You know, he has a lot done, not to mention what the librarian did to him during that whole cutscene in Halo 4.
Yep.
So it's like, he's been through a lot, and I don't want to see him go, but I think it's going to be necessary to do so. I think it's going to be, like I said, I think he needs to go out heroically. I don't think it's possible to just retire Chief. Like, you'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to go into a retirement home for the rest of my life. Like, I don't think that's not, it's not possible. Like, it's, you can't do that.
Retire, no, but I don't think he has to go out in a heroic death. I think there are ways within how the franchise and the fiction is currently set up to where Chief has an exit that doesn't necessarily have to be death. I mean, if you look at what possibly happened to Chief with the librarian, some theories are the Didex imprint. So that might be something mixed in with something in particular with Chief. I mean, that's a really far-fetched idea. I don't personally subscribe to that theory, but I have a feeling that there's some forerunner either imprint or Gaosh or something that the librarian imprinted onto Chief, and that is going to be the gateway for humanity to reclaim that place within the domain and take the burden of the mantle. And I think Halsey still plays a key part of that. I don't know where Halsey fits, and they better make sure Halsey fits in here, because she is an integral part, whether or not people think it or not.
Yeah, for sure. But something to go back on, this Hunt the Truth thing, like, just to get a little bit past this from tangent.
Right, yeah.
I'm really excited for these audio logs, or these audio things that we're going to be getting each week. It gets the hype out there a little bit more. Per se, like, you can't sit there and have it like a piece of a trailer every single week. Like, it wouldn't do. Like, that was an idea someone tossed up a while ago, and that got dismissed very quick with me. But these audio logs, like, I'd listen to it, I would say, a good 15, 16 times, just like to see if I could sit there and hear any background noise or just anything. Like, there could be secrets within these audio logs that we don't hear. And, like, that's what I'm kind of looking for. And not to mention, like, it brings, like, I'm interested to see what this Benjamin, how you say, Gerard, and how you say it? I don't know how to say his last name.
Benjamin Gerard?
Gerard. I think it's Gerard. But, like, it's interesting to see what he has to say about Chief. You know, what's the reasoning for him to say, question why he is the traitor that he's portraying him as? You know, what's... He had this story that was going to be so simple, you know, do this profile on a hero that we all know who we think he know who he is. But it got complicated because there's things in the past that we don't know. It's interesting. It really is. It's a smart move, and I think it's really awesome.
I think it's a great move. But again, I think this is great for Chief's story. I don't know if it's particularly great for Locke's story.
No, I think if they go with anything with Locke on this, I think it's going to drop real quick. But I don't think we will get anything from Locke from this, because he's doing a profile on Chief, not Locke. You know what I mean?
Right. I just the vehicle on which they're basing Halo 5 right now is through Locke. And with everyone being familiar on how playing as Chief gave you that perspective and gave you that feel as you are the Chief, to be completely disconnected in a character that doesn't really have a story and something that you really can't connect with, because every character that you want to have someone playing as needs to have something that a player can identify with. And right now, I don't feel Locke has any characteristic or contribution to having someone playing as him being able to latch into the story. And that's, I have kind of a problem with, because if you can't really get that first grab on somebody within the first level or two of someone playing the game, you're not the rest of the campaign, you might as well just say, you might as well just scrap it, because you're not going to be invested in it. I mean, one of the things I like about Halo is I get emotionally invested in the story.
Yeah.
I mean, I when Cortana died, air quotes, on Halo 4, I cried. I mean, that brought me to tears.
It's going to be one of those things where I think we're going to see okay, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they go back to the Halo 2 style of the campaign where you have two sight lines going through. You have Locke's, where you maybe get introduced with Locke. You know, you kind of get an idea of what's going on with Locke, and then for some reason you get thrown into Halo's or Chief's story. You know, have two different viewpoints. I think that's something that I really want to see. I like the way they did with that with Arbiter and Chief with Halo 2, and I really feel that that's something that they should really do with Halo 5, and I really hope that's what they do. You know, a lot of people don't like that. They just want to sit there and concentrate on one character. It gets a little too complicated when you sit there and throw in two things. But I always want to see the enemy side of the story. You know what I mean? There's two sides of that one coin.
So I'm going to disagree with you only on the basis that with the way the storyline is currently playing out with Halo 5, as we know it, they're really focusing on that outside perspective of Chief coming in. And we already know from 343 talking about it that you're really going to be focusing on Locke and playing as Locke as a character for at least the first half of the game.
Well, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, have the intro and all that. Like start off with Locke. That's what I'm saying. Like, you start off with Locke for the first half of the game, and for some reason, like, I don't make the switch to Chief somehow. I don't know how. I don't know anything about the story, so I can't say anything. So, right. Like, just have that switch in the middle of the game. That way you can see, maybe have flashbacks to what Chief was doing. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be an explanation to why Locke is looking for Chief, and Chief has to have an explanation to why he is doing the things that he's doing. So, like, I think making that switch somewhere along the lines of these flashbacks somehow, like, showing what Chief is actually doing to kind of sort out the story a little bit more, you know, answer some of the questions, you know, why would Chief do this? Why would Chief do that? You know,
just kind of like what they did in ODST in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that. I think that's something that they could kind of do, but have that.
Shout out to Laird because he just put that all in the chat.
Okay. I didn't even see chat. So
I know.
I didn't even see chat.
It was funny because we're on the same wavelength, and it's like we're talking about, and then he's posting it immediately as we're talking about it. It's like, oh well, we're all on the same wavelength here, so it must be a good idea, right?
Yeah.
343, you listening? Huh? Huh?
Huh? Hint, hint.
Yeah, but, exactly. I mean, I get your point. I think it's a. I do like the style of Halo 2 where they went back and forth between the characters. It made for a freaking long campaign. It's going to make that achievement for Legendary in 3 hours a freaking pain in the butt. But I do like that style of going back and forth. But I think it worked a lot better for Halo 2 because you did have those two disparate stories, the one with the Arbiter and one with the Chief, between the Covenant side and then the UNSC side. Whereas for Halo 5, you really don't have that mix. You're still focusing on one central character, one central storyline, which is the Chief. So splitting that up in that kind of way, I don't think really lends to what storytelling 343 is trying to do with Halo 5. I think there's some other things that maybe down the line we'll be able to do something like that. But with how they're focusing on Chief right now, and now that he's being labeled as a traitor, whether that's from like Oni or UNSC or whoever, we don't know that at the moment. But now that he has that label, there's going to be the focus in the games on Chief. And you really, if they're trying to spin this as there's this one viewpoint on Chief and that's what they're going with, then we're going to be staying with Locke. We're going to be staying with that side of the equation until maybe at some point Locke learns the ultimatum
truth
of why Chief is doing the things that he is doing, and then possibly converting to that side. And that would be the point to where you would switch to Master Chief.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. It's hard. Like, we don't know anything. as of right now, we don't have a clue. Everything is in the air. Chief is being labeled as a traitor, which is getting everybody all riled up. And it's like,
yeah,
we're going to sit there and be playing as a character that we have no clue. And basically, we have not an idea of who he is. Like, we have this little bit of, like, going back to the Nightfall deal, we have that. But it's like, apart from that, we don't know anything about this guy. We don't really know where he comes from. You know, we don't have... He's not any sort of hero, so we can't really relate to him with Chief in any way. So it's we have a lot that we're wanting from this character that we have no clue about. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. We have all we have a lot to learn within now into the launch of Halo 5. Like, I mean, and that's not even going to solve anything until we actually play the campaign. So.
Let's go through some of those labels since we're kind of dabbling in and out of stuff. Oh, hey, Pence has actually made it. So there are a few more labels that came up in the final video that got put out there that you can actually see clearly now through the Hunt the Truth experience over on the Tumblr site. And they basically go through the stages of Master Chief's life, John's life. So the first label that we see is Son. Which makes sense. Going back to the Fall of Reach book, that's where we actually see Halsey come and meet John for the first time. And he's a 6-year-old kid in elementary school. And so at that point, he's a son. Next step is he's an abductee. So he gets abducted by Halsey and for the Spartan program. Then he's an orphan, so his parents die.
Well, we have victim before that. I'm just reading off to you. We have son, abductee, we have victim.
Oh, I mixed those up then. Oops. So victim.
Sorry. How does that was...
Victim of... Well, no, not victim of being abducted. What's the link here? I'm missing something.
I don't know. Like, the only thing I got out of this, because this is what kind of confused me. Because I was reading... Like, I was... cycling through the bullet itself, and like that's how it went from son, abductee, victim, orphan. Okay. The only thing I can honestly say for victim is experiments that he was done by him. Sorry about that. So
wasn't done until
I know that's the only thing. That's like I don't know. A victim of what? I would say a victim of a abductee, and then he becomes an orphan. He doesn't have a parent.
He becomes an orphan because his parents die.
Okay,
I believe.
I thought it was an orphan because he got abducted. I thought that's what I got.
No, from orphan it. Means you usually don't have any parents.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
So, yeah, I believe his parents died. I don't remember the cause. I wish we had someone that was a little bit more knowledgeable and wanted to know. But, yeah, so I know his parents died, though.
Okay.
The victim part, I'm not sure where that is really fitting in. Because we have him at the elementary school on Epsilon Eridanus, and we have the and then he gets abducted.
Laird in the chat was saying, I don't know, Erendia? How do you say that? It was glassed. The planet was glassed.
Okay.
John's home was glassed, yeah.
So it got glassed, so he was an orphan then, but the victim in between abductee and victim, I'm missing that link. Victim of gosh, I had to look at the books again.
I mean, I was going, like when I was just going through all these things, like the only things that were kind of going through my head is like a son when he was on the beach with his mom, then abductees when they actually grab him and they're checking through all the kids that were abducted, you know, for the Spartan program.
Yeah.
And then you got victim. But that's jumping ahead. So, like, I didn't understand that part. The orphan part I got was because he didn't have any parents anymore because he was abducted. That's where I got. Like, I don't know anything that goes past John's story apart from him just being in the military. I don't know about his parents. It's like, about him being a kid or anything like that. So, I mean, that's what I was
thinking. Fall of Reach.
Yeah, I know. I need to read.
So, after orphan comes recruit. So, Halsey basically asks all of the abductees if they wanted to be part of this, like the best of the best for this training stuff. So he becomes a recruit, then he gets trained to be a soldier, becomes a warrior through his training and through the genetic modifications and becoming a Spartan. Ally,
I got it from becoming an ally with the Covenant. And then we also could also be an ally because Arbiter saying that I once called him ally and then also called him a friend. So that's where I kind of got that from that. I mean, he could also be an ally just from being your, you know, the Master Chief, being an ally to count on to fight the bad guys. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of got that from that.
Well, that was the thing that kind of clicked with me first was ally was allied with the elites.
Yeah, that's the first thing that popped up in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So if that's the first thing you came up for you, I'm guessing that maybe I'm right.
Yeah.
And and Laird's saying the same thing too. So I guess, yeah. Then we have hero. So of course, being a heroic force against truth, against the wipeout of humanity, and of course, savior of humanity, stopping the rings from firing, and stopping the Didact.
Yeah.
For Halo 4. I don't know if hero would have been kind of the label for the end of Halo 3 when he stopped the Halo rings, and then savior would have been at the end of Halo 4 when he stopped the Didact.
Well, I mean, he could be here for a couple different reasons. I mean, he basically blew up the Halo ring in Halo 1, you know, kind of stopping that particular flood outburst and all that stuff, because like you find out so much about all these things. I mean, you could also, I mean, that's another thing too. You could say for Halo 3 as well. So, I mean, there's three games in there that you can kind of fit hero in with that. And then you have Savior, which is the savior of humanity, like you're going for. That could also be for Halo 4 as well, you know, when the Didact was going to sit there and mess everything up for the human race.
Well, yeah, because you had the composer at Halo, and as far as you know, what was it, 500,000 people got composed?
Yeah, somewhere around like there, that.
So Savior could, I could see it where hero maybe was more of the definition during the, what was it, 2 months that Halo 1 to Halo 3 took place in? And then Savior would have been saving humanity from the Didact at Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then Traitor is obviously now.
Yeah, which we need to find out more on.
Well, that's what all this stuff should be coming to bring to light. That's what these episodes for this war journalist should be about. That should give us some more perspective on his investigation and all the stuff that's going on. In which case, let's go ahead and move over to that. So the Hunt the Truth Tumblr campaign, the ARG that we have, is basically a breakdown of a investigation of this war reporter that doing an in-depth profile on Master Chief. He was asked to do an in-depth profile, and there's actually a Oni message actually over on the Halo Wiki, where Mike Sullivan, who I think we've heard from before, senior communications director from Oni, basically sends a message to this Benjamin. I honestly don't know how to say it, Girard.
I said Girard.
Girard.
Jay Frechette said Girard on the bulletin. That's how he said it. So,
which I haven't watched yet.
Okay.
So in this message, Mike asks Ben, "Hey, we're putting together a big campaign around the Master Chief. Full access, exclusive interviews, the whole thing. Looking for a tight turnaround, but we have the interviews lined up for you. When you got a minute, let's go over the guidelines and sign the paperwork." So Oni has obviously some devilish intentions, as Oni always does.
Mm.
And one of the things that kind of struck me was we have all these interviews lined up and we need a tight turnaround of 5 weeks.
Mm.
That's not a lot of time.
No.
To dive into the history of Master Chief.
Yeah, well, I mean, something that you have bookworms that can sit there and read through. I mean, this isn't like this is a whole life we're talking about, but you have like a lot of people that can sit there and go through a lot of information really quick. And I'm sure that's what a war journalist does, you know, try to get as much information as they can, as fast as they can to make this profile on somebody, in this case, the Master Chief. So, I mean, 5 weeks is definitely a small time. But within those 5 weeks, you can find a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff to, but it's not finding the stuff within 5 weeks. It's finding the stuff, processing it, and generating a report in 5 weeks. But again, they are Oni.
Yeah. I'm sure they have, like, oh, well, prime example. You had the Master Chief Collection trailer that we seen at E3. You had the sequence where Chief is bombing the Covenant, like bringing back their bomb to the Covenant ship and blows it up, all that stuff. Locke was watching that. He was watching this interactive terminal, I guess you can call it.
Hologram or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure somewhere along those lines, you have a lot of visual stuff. You know, if you're within the UNSC, they had cameras all over the place. So I'm sure you could watch stuff, and they had security cameras. So somewhere along those lines, you could somewhere see it. But I'm sure there's a lot of reading documentation that you could have to work through too. So I mean, this the visual would help a little bit more, time wise maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a short time. There's no getting around it. It's too short.
Just one of those things where it you think about it, just doesn't quite make sense. You know, just a little bit. Oh boy, Frankie's stirring up hype on NeoGAF. Thanks, Laird. Posting, dropping them all stuff. So we actually have seen Benjamin Garrod before. He was in the Halo graphic novel in the final story. So he was in the Battle of New Mombasa, believe it or not. He actually had a job of going in, editing, manipulating images coming from a bunch of UNSC sources, and then manipulating them to where it's a little more publicly appetizing or palatable for from Oni's perspective. So with that, and this is coming from Halopedia, by the way, if that's something that we see from Ben, what's to convince us to believe the stuff that we're hearing in the ARG to be actually true?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, he's going to have to sit there and pull out truthful facts as much as he can. I mean, there's a lot of pollution when it comes to like news and different things like that. We see it all the time. You know, people get their stories mixed up all the time. So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see what he does say and who's he getting this. What's the source of this information that he's getting it from? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what he says in the coming weeks. I mean, I don't know. Oni had, like, what, apart from UNSC, what would Oni have that would show a little bit more of Chief?
So, from the perspective of what we know in the public, I'm sure Oni's trying to hide every possible thing of Master Chief. Other than that, yeah, he was this heroic figure, and after all of that from Halo 3, kind of make him disappear off the map. That would be what I would assume Oni's angle is. To not necessarily snuff him out and the deeds that he's done for humanity in the past, but to just quietly let go of him in the future.
Yeah, keep him MIA after the events of Halo 3. Just like, there's not too many people that know that he is around publicly. There, you know, you have Lasky and all these different people like Palmer and all that. So maybe Locke's job is to get rid of him. Maybe quietly silence him from everything and make it look like it was an accident or something.
Something. I don't know. This reporter, though, there's a little story at the end of the graphic novel for the Battle of Mombasa story. And this is the excerpt from Halo Wiki that I'm reading. It says that he was able to intercept and translate a Sangheili message saying that we need to clear the area before we can secure access to the Ark. And after he got that communique, he was trying to get out of the city while it was being bombarded. And because of all the people trying to get out of the city, he ended up giving his computer to a girl to get out of the city and try to get it up to UNSC High Command to relay that info on. And he actually stayed inside the city. Other than that, there was no mention of him until now, obviously, with this ARG.
Right.
So we have seen a little backstory of him before in the Halo universe. And this is something that I've kind of noticed where 343 is starting to recycle a lot of characters. Like, we have these tiny mentions of people, and someone needs to silence their phone.
That's what I'm trying to do. It won't stop.
And then we see people come back into the story of Halo just nonchalantly. Oh, we have this character in here. It's like, wait, where does he have some kind of importance from before or what? So the recycling of characters is not necessarily bad or good, but it's interesting, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
But we have little information on him right now. The first audio bit was kind of interesting because it seemed like at the start he had this, like, when first meeting Chief and seeing what he had done, it was very respectful, very much of the opinion of what you'd think people would have of the Chief of the day. But then at the end, he has this slowly changing thing. It's like, I'm beginning to question things I thought I would never question or have questions to, or have answers to questions I never thought I would even be asking, and finding dirty truths about what actually happened in certain things. So it's going to be I hate using interesting a lot. I can't really think of a better word to use, but how they're going to be introducing some of this new content of this manipulation or these ugly truths about what Chief has done, when everything that's been portrayed within the books, within the games, Chief has been this hero for humanity. Yeah. And that's all he's known since age 6.
Yeah.
That's what he's hardwired for.
It just, yeah, there's corruption somewhere.
Well, yeah, it's
there is. There's corruption somewhere. And it's, interesting is a word that we're going to be using a lot, but it's more wanting to know more about it. Like, there's more of an urge to know a little bit more. It's like, we have all these documented, you know, events that the Chief was within these events. You know, we had the Halo, we've had the flood outbreak from Halo 1, you know, him blowing up the ring. He was there when the alliance with he wasn't there, but he was with the Arbiter and all these, you know, legendary people that we know. And not to mention, he stopped us from the Didact. He was with the Librarian. He's known for so much. And it's like, we were behind the mask playing the game as him throughout these times. So that you're not going to be able to not see what's going on. So, like, what events were there that this guy is talking about?
That's what we're going to be finding out over the next 14 weeks, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it boggles my mind that there's that much room within what we know of the Halo universe to even suggest something like that. And the only thing that really comes to mind that could possibly contribute to that is Halsey has some alternate agenda. John is part of this. Hence, John is doing stuff directly for Halsey and not actually for the UNSC or ONI. That's the only thing that easily comes to mind that could be construed as a reason for Chief to become a traitor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing we got. I mean, she has the Janus key. You know, she could be finding out, half of the Janus key. She could be unlocking some stuff in there that we don't know about within this time frame of her getting, I wouldn't say abducted by Jewel Adama, but she's with Jewel, and like, she could be finding all these things out about that half of that Janus key. Maybe there's something in there that will maybe bring back Cortana, like some secret Forerunner tech that will make her a better AI than what she was. You know, she was the only AI that we've seen that was a clone of someone's brain, and maybe somewhere along the line she'll enhance that and bring back information to a Cortana about Forerunner stuff that we haven't seen yet. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of things that could be going on.
I don't doubt it. The thing with the Cortana thing is a really interesting subject, and we could do a whole podcast about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you have to consider, and again, this goes back to the whole loose threads thing that we mentioned earlier. There's just so many open ends to Halo 4 that you have to account for when you're going into this storyline with the Chief. Because ultimately, everything does kind of point back to what the Chief is doing. and yeah. what he's doing going on this separate mission of his. So you can't ignore all the loose threads. And I think it could definitely be pulled all back together with the ending of Halo 4 and with the ending of Spartan Ops and some of the other stuff that we see in the Halo universe. It's definitely possible to bring all that to this grand conclusion. And I think that grand conclusion will be the point where we see Chief make his exit from the frame. Or, well, it doesn't necessarily have to be exit, but his exodus as the protagonist for the series.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a while, but that's the point where you still have to account for all these different loose ends that has been made from Halo 4 to bring it all together and wrap it up in one nice package.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much stuff from Halo 4 that needs to be answered. I think the half of the Janus key with Halsey is something that's really sparking my interest a little bit more than what anything else we've seen with Spartan Ops or just and with the Halo 4 campaign in general. I mean, we didn't really know we stopped the Didact and Chief is walking and all that stuff and he gets just armor taken off and all that, but it's like I want to know something. But what's Halsey's up to? She's always up to something, you know. You've seen it in Spartan Ops. She was always up to something. So the librarian giving her the knowledge that she needs to complete whatever she wants is really gets my attention.
There's a lot of open end threads with this. There's just so much that they could do with this, yet it's gonna. 343 has a lot on their hands right now, and
oh yeah,
honestly, they kind of brought it on themselves with how they did Halo 4. Not to like point fingers or anything, or like belittle anybody, but the amount of effort they're gonna have to do to make sure this actually works for a campaign story is astronomical compared to what Bungie was doing with Halo 1, 2, 3, and Reach. Mm-hmm. You take a look at the story in Halo 4 and how complex and convoluted that was unless you read the books. That made Halo 1, 2, and 3 look like a piece of cake when it came to writing the story.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, you get that's to be expected, though. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting more and more advanced with different things, and stories and games in general are getting more and more advanced. So them making the story more advanced is going to make a little bit longer of a campaign, which I honestly enjoy. I felt that Halo 4's campaign was a little too short. I mean, you can argue that the Spartan Ops helped along with that to give a little bit more story, but I don't know. I think Halo 2 did the best with story because it was what, 15 missions, 16 missions, somewhere around there.
It was 15 missions, including that intro thing, so really 14 playable.
Okay, but either way, I mean, what, we had 8 in Halo 4, or
yeah,
8, 9,
right?
If you want to include all that, but like.
It was nine, and then you had the opening, so 10 or 9, depending on how you looked at it.
Yeah. I mean, so the longer the campaign is, the more missions that you're going to put out, the more story you can tell, is the way I look at it. And I think Halo 5 needs that longer story, and it's going to need that – it's going to need a lot of explanation to – or explaining to do.
Yeah.
Halo 5 story is really looking interesting, though. It really is. It has a lot of people's attention, bringing up so many questions.
I think it has potential. I am not currently confident with the story they're going to betray, and that's primarily because of my opinion on Locke right now. I'll admit that straight out. I'm not too thrilled on where the campaign is going at the moment. I think it can be good. I think if 343 does it right, it will be good. I just... There's just some stuff with Locke that just doesn't click for me when it comes to playing as that character in a Halo game.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, it's hard though. I mean, we've only been taken away from Chief as the main character twice in the campaign. Like, just in the series in general. I mean, we had ODST and we had Reach. Like, those are the only two times that we haven't played as Chief. Most of the time, And this is going to be told in a Chief story, and you're not playing as him. It's going to be very
different.
Unique.
Very different.
Yeah, it's going to be very different. So it's going to be a very interesting way of doing things.
We like to use that word, interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to find a better word, and it's just.
It's so hard. I feel you right there, dude. I am right there with you. With the journalist that we have here, though, the war journalist, the photographer, doing his analysis on the Master Chief, I'm going to say it again. We'll have to see what we get from the live action thing this weekend. We'll have to see what comes in the weeks to follow, but it seems very odd that for the pre-episodic thing that's coming out here, that the journalist is already of this mindset that he's seen the dirty, ugly truth, which completely changes his mind on things. Just from what I've seen in the books, what I've seen in the games, what I understand personally of the Halo universe, that just screams, okay, Oni's up to something again. And whether this is setting it up just for the purview of establishing the current view of Chief within Oni and the UNSC in the game, I can see where that comes into play. But knowing who Chief is, knowing his background, his personality, reading the books and all that stuff, he has the right intentions. Even though if he's become a traitor to the UNSC and Oni, he's looking out for humanity. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that he gets, that Cortana got, that Halsey got, that the rest of the UNSC and Oni don't really seem to understand.
Well, you could see that with Del Rio too.
Yeah.
I mean that's a perfect example right there. It's like he was taking orders and giving orders just for the sake of, that's what I'm telling you to do. Well, no, I'm not gonna do that. That's not gonna help anybody. That's just doing the complete opposite to help anybody. Lasky got it. You know what I mean? Palmer, she's let's not talk about her. But anyway,
So honestly, no. Let's talk about that for a second. Because
oh boy,
I honestly don't see Palmer. Okay, so Palmer did not get a good rep for the first half of Spartan Ops. I will agree, it was a bad character with all the egghead crap. But I felt that for the second half of Spartan Ops, they really did a good job fleshing her out as a character. Like, we actually got a little bit of, okay, she actually does have a little bit of sensitivity. She actually does have some depth to her character other than just calling people eggheads all the time. Because, let's be honest, that first half of the Spartan Ops wasn't that great, to be honest. But the second half, they did a lot better of building the story, building that integration with the campaign, and setting up the stage for future Halo games. And I really felt that they fleshed out Palmer as a character a lot better in the second half of Spartan Ops. Now, of course, there's still quite a few things that need to be out there. And we got that through Spartan Assault. We're actually getting that through New Blood, for those who are reading that right now. And I hesitate to say we really got anything in the Halo 4 campaign, but we got technically a tiny bit. But I think as a character, she's not really that bad of a character from a person within the Halo universe, not because of like how she acted within the first half of Spartan Ops, but as a character, I think they did a better job actually fleshing her out after that first half of Spartan Ops.
I guess I still don't like her. I don't like her at all.
Any particular reason, or just like...
I just don't like the way her attitude was. Like, I mean, just the way she acted towards Chief, the way she responded when they basically told to get rid of Halsey. You know what I mean? Like, she shot her. Just, I don't know. Like, I don't like Palmer at all. Like, I don't like her as a character. I don't like her as a person. Spartan Ops, this first half of that just turned me on. And I will agree that they did a better job portraying her character in the second half, but I don't like her. I don't like her at all.
Even though you don't like her, liking her doesn't have to necessarily equate to her being a bad character.
No. No. I'm not saying she's a bad character.
Okay.
I'm just saying, as a character, from my personal preference, I don't like her at all.
Gotcha. Because I think that viewpoint of what they've established her in the game, that, I mean, working in a military organization, I see that, and it's like, okay, that actually makes sense.
Yeah, you gotta be hard in the military. Like,
yeah, and some people subscribe to that you always follow orders things, and some people don't. So I'll put it this way. I appreciate Palmer's character, and I understand why in the game she did the things she did, and I appreciate that, and hence I like that kind of conflict of a character, because it does add, for me, a little more realism into the universe. To have that person that a lot of people don't like.
Yeah.
Because you can't fill the universe with people that you like. And I'm not saying, because you're obviously going to have those people that are engineered to not be liked. Like, you have your main antagonists and all that stuff. Those are engineered to not be liked. But you have someone like Palmer who you think should be liked, but isn't. And I find that brings a certain realism to the universe, and that's why I like her as a character.
Right, and I completely respect that. I mean, you're gonna have to sit there and put characters in a story that you're not gonna like to give the story character. You have to give it some sort of oomph to what the thing is. I mean, if you put so many likable characters in one particular thing, the story is not gonna sit there and appeal to you. Yeah, it may for a little bit, and then you're like, oh well, can someone just shoot this guy? Just so I can hate a person to make the story a little bit more thrilling. I'm being for real though. I mean, like, I like Palmer as a character in the sense of she brings something to the table as a character. I just don't like her attitude. I don't like the way she looks at things, but I like the way that she was just throughout the whole deal.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I just don't like Palmer. I mean, Lasky.
No, that makes sense.
Like, I think the story between, like, this is weird, and this is how I see it. I think it was between Lasky and her, like, kind of how, like, Chief against Didact, like, she was kind of the rival to Lasky in a way, for like a little mini story, if you will. You know, you like kind of see what I'm saying,
but birds?
Like, well, no. no, I'm just saying, like, antagonist and protagonist.
Come on, Lasky Palmer forever, dude. I guess you weren't really around when we were doing that whole thing, and while Brent was still a co-host. I think those theories are still kind of, they're not as prevalent now, but there were definitely a lot of theories that Lasky and Sarah had a thing.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like that, like Halo 5 comes in, and like it's like an opening intro of them having a wedding, and like Chief's the ring bearer, and like Arbiter's just sitting in the background jamming out. Yeah, okay. I mean,
that would be ridiculously awesome.
I mean, Halsey with her like one arm is just like applauding with a robotic arm that she made herself, because like with Cat or something. I don't know. Like there's a lot of things that could happen. Weddings are crazy, dude.
How would you do that in the Halo universe? That's interesting.
Put them on the Ark, like at the very end of that waterfall cutscene, like where, like that'd be interesting. Like have them like on the Ark where that would be very romantic. You have like a giant waterfall in the back, and like the whole ring thing starts exploding, and everybody has to rush out and start killing stuff. Like, you know, that's how it should be. If you're gonna have a military wedding, come on, you gotta have something.
That is ridiculous, dude.
Too dramatic?
Maybe a little bit. Oh boy. Oh, good stuff. So we're gonna get some more info. Do these come out
weekly?
Yeah, but weekly on when? Sunday, Monday?
With the next one's tomorrow, so it's gonna be every Sunday.
Every Sunday, okay. So every Sunday up until E3, which hopefully I'll be there. Hopefully, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the live action stuff. Of course, it's gonna be coming out tomorrow. So we're looking at possibly doing 3 podcasts next week. We'll be doing one with ESL, that one will not be live per the request. We're going to be doing one with the Sins of the Prophets team. That is a mod for Sins of the Solar Empire, right? That's the base game for it, right?
Yeah, if I remember.
And that is a mod for, it's basically a space squad simulator game. So you fly around to different systems with your squad of ships and you battle other squads of ships. It's really cool. Looking at some of the videos that they have online, I definitely couldn't do it because I'm not a strategy person. I'm horrible at strategy. I'm lucky to get by with first-person shooters, and that's what I'll stick with. But yeah, so it's basically you're taking UNSC vessels and ships. You're making fleets out of those with obviously resources from the planets that you control, and you're battling Covenant ships, essentially. That is what Sins of the Prophets is, and we'll be talking about it more next week, and then we'll probably have a third podcast talking about the the Hunt the Truth stuff coming out for tomorrow. Lots of interesting stuff to talk about this next week, so we're pumping out podcasts here for the next month or so, probably, because we have the week after, I think we also have two shows, or it could be 2 weeks after that. So yeah, we're going to be putting out podcasts. Oh my gosh, it is. It's ridiculously real, dude. So that's going to be coming down the pipeline for you guys. And either after next week or the week after, depending on when everyone finishes reading it, I don't know how far you are, Bio, but we're going to have the podcast on New Blood. We'll have that. And then I'm hoping shortly after, like before E3, we'll do one on Broken Circle, because I do want to do a podcast on that. I will be reading that promptly after I finish New Blood. And we still haven't done our Cannon Fodder episode too, so that'll probably be done in 2 weeks as we catch up on some of that stuff. Lots of podcasts. Lots of podcasts.
Indeed.
Yeah, there's lots of guests that we have in mind too. So the schedule is packed with podcasts. So you guys are going to have podcasts for days. For the month of April. For days. Yeah, could be good stuff. Be interesting if we get to 500 before our 10-year anniversary. We're not on the schedule to get it done by then, but with how many podcasts we'll be pumping out, it's possible we could.
You could.
It's very possible we could.
You could.
If we hadn't had our multitudes of hiatus. Hiati? Is that the plural for hiatus?
Those are big words that are not in my vocabulary, dude.
We would be up to right around 520 episodes. But if we get to 500 before our 10-year anniversary, that would be freaking fantastic.
What would be really cool is have the 500th episode on the 10th anniversary.
On the 10th anniversary, yep.
That'd be sick.
I know, yep. So that is going to wrap it up for us tonight, I think, unless... Bio, did you have anything else to add to all this stuff? I think we covered most of it.
Palmer and Lasky's wedding definitely needs to be a thing. I'm going to put up like a straw poll to see how many people want to see that up. So that's going to happen.
Easter egg,
absolutely. The Halo hype is really making an entrance, and I'm thinking after this trailer that we're going to get from tomorrow, a lot of people are going to be going absolutely ape crazy, dude. So like I'm excited. The Halo hype for Halo 4 was there, but I'm feeling the way that they're gonna do with this is it's definitely gonna be a lot better.
It seems like a lot of the feedback has been very curious about what's going on with the Hunt the Truth, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we were exposed to a tease of what the Halo multiplayer is gonna be, so we understand that. Like, we get where they're going with that.
Such a tease.
3 weeks is never enough. But no, I mean, we understand where they're trying to, the aim that they're going for the multiplayer for that, so we can kind of get an idea. But we don't have a clue what the multiplayer, or not the multiplayer, the campaign is, the story is. So as the weeks unfold and the months unfold, the more and more information we're going to get and the more people are going to get excited for it. So I think 343 is doing a good job to throw out some interesting facts, and I think the perfect way to do this, honestly, is just audio log. People don't have to read anything. You know what I mean? And if they honestly wanted to, they can go to the site and maybe they update something and people find little Easter eggs that give a little bit more to the story and all that different stuff. I mean, people found coded words, if I remember correctly. Like, there was like a coded word that was like in the text of the site itself. Like, you just had to zoom in and do all this crazy crap. But I think these audio logs are going to be pretty cool. I honestly would like it, maybe a video, but the audio logs are going to suffice.
The audio logs are interesting, and they've done that in the past. And no Lair that haven't listened to I Love Vase yet, but that's one of the things I need to do to kind of get a comparison for. Well, they've actually done ARGs for, I mean, they had one for Halo 2. They had one for Halo 3, which I never got my package for, which kind of sucks. They didn't do one for Reach, did they?
Not that I know of, no. I don't think so.
I could be wrong.
I'm going to be wrong, like I usually am.
So, yeah, this will be the first time since Halo 3 that we've had an ARG for Halo. This is good stuff.
Absolutely.
That was going to wrap it up for us tonight. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in for this impromptu show for those of us that are live on Twitch. And for those that are not, thank you for downloading us, whether it be iTunes, Zoom, or whatever RSS podcast aggregator that you have. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to us. We appreciate it. You guys can check us out on our website, podtegler.com. And while you're there, check out the forum. Send us a submission. Tell us what you think about all this crazy news about Halo 5 and now Halo Online and all the other stuff that's going on in the Halo universe. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. And you can always do that by sending us an email by clicking that submit button on the homepage. Or you can send us an email directly to submissions@podtegler.com. Or if you're feeling a little chatty, you can actually call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO and leave a Halo message. Please give about 90-second, 2-minute max whenever you call in. That way we can keep it short and sweet on the show. You can also check us out on our social networks. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And we'll actually be having a new episode of Achieving Halo coming out in just a couple days. Probably tomorrow as of this recording. So that's coming up from Godzilla Todd, so major shouts out to him. And we're doing a new thing on our homepage right now, and that is doing screenshot highlights. So we actually had our first highlights for the week, and thanks to our resident Welshman, Receptor17, we have our first set of 10 up there, and we're going to be doing 10 of the best community screenshots that we have available to us and highlighting those for the week. So what you can do for that is if you have some screenshots and if you're taking screenshots with the new screenshot feature from the upload update for Xbox One in March, then you can either tag those to us from Twitter or Facebook, or you can send that right along in a submission, or you can head on over to our forums and drop a link in there. We would appreciate it if you do give us the original, so the link to the original in your OneDrive. That way we can get the full 1080 or the 1920 by 1080 resolution. That way we can put it up and have it shown across the internet for the glory that it deserves. But if not, just shoot us however you can shoot it to us, and we'll take it and highlight it up there. So we're looking for 10 a week, and we have a little buffer from Receptor to kind of get things kicked off, but we want to see some from other members. I know, Bio, you have some screenshots that you've been messing around with, so I expect to see you up there a little bit. That's just one of the ways we're trying to get the community involved. And actually, I had someone come to me yesterday with an idea of doing a little screenshot montage. So we might be doing that as a new YouTube thing as well. It wouldn't take too much time, so it's something I could actually look into doing, or maybe have someone else do. Biowolf, hint, Biowolf. we can talk afterwards. But that's something that we're looking to do. And of course, we're always looking for community involvement. So of course, check out the forum, send in submissions. We would appreciate all of that. And last but certainly not least, we have our podcast network, thepodcast.com. That is thepodcast.com. It is our network of sister podcasts, which include the likes of Guardian Radio, Critcast, How to Murder Time, Work in Progress, and the newly added Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast. So if you're into the EVE Online scene, or if you're looking for yet another podcast to listen to, head on over there and check them out. They just got their start a couple months ago. They're on episode 8 right now, so go give them a listen, give them some good feedback and some valuable input, and just be a good welcoming guest to them as they join this network. So huge shout outs to you guys for making it onto the network. Can't wait to listen to you guys and see what you guys have to offer. So I got a bit of homework to do. Yeah. And yeah, I'm back in school again. So that's going to be it for tonight. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and until next time, keep on fragging Halo ARGs.
Keep on fragging weddings.
Part Lasky and Palmer.
Yeah.